And here we are at stage 11 of the Anapanasati. So we're still on the mind tetrads. And what is this week? Six. Week six, that's right. And just check that's handy. Yeah. So we're going to look at stages 11 and 12 today. This is the last two stages of the mind tetrad. So last week we were basically looking at experiencing the mind in the context of being aware when the mind's in hindrance and being aware of when the mind's free of hindrance and the ways of working with that. And then just touched briefly on gladdening the mind at the end and so on. So this week we're going to look at this pair, concentrating the mind and liberating the mind. So this does form a balanced pair. And in fact, it could be a whole practice. You could spend your whole practice concentrating the mind and then liberating the mind and draw that out at the end. In fact, you could look at your whole mindfulness practice in terms of these two basic themes, developing concentration and then letting go of fetters and restrictions and liberating. So my plan for the day, the morning, is to in the first half, concentrate on stage 11, concentrating the mind. So do a brief talk and then do a lightly led meditation. Then we can have a tea break. And then in the second half, something similar with stage 12. So concentrating the mind, I breathe in. Concentrating the mind, I breathe out. And this stage, we're particularly bringing in a very, very fine, particular, specific focus. so this is akin to the last of the four stage, the last stage of the four stage mindfulness breathing practice that we do, where we sort of focus particularly on this one little point at the end of the nose where the breath first enters the body. So we're refining the focus on a particular point of experience, and the main one that's recommended is this point where the breath first enters the body. But there are a couple of alternatives which I'll mention because sometimes they're more appropriate. So one alternative is down in the abdomen, perhaps in the hara, just below the navel. You can see this as where you experience the breath beginning, because usually the first experience of the breath, of the in-breath, may well be a sort of movement in the abdomen and then the air's drawn in. It's much lower, so it's a more sort of grounding centre of attention. But it's also rather broader, so it's less specific. So less of a fine point of awareness. And the third alternative is around the heart area. There tends to be rather less particular physical sensation here, but it is a very key centre for feelings and emotions. So if you feel like where you're at the moment, there's this need to kind of come back to the heart to be more sort of in touch, heart-centred, then that's an option as well. So I've just mentioned those two as options, but from here I'm going to sort of assume we're picking this one, which has more fine one-pointedness to it. And that's going to help us bring this sort of clarity and precision to our awareness. So we need to do this in balance with breath. So I'm going to say basically a few things about breath and focus around this stage, and then we'll give it a go. So I'll start with my first drawing. This one. So this is going to be a sort of polarity map. You may or may not know polarity maps. Anybody heard of polarity maps? Good. So polarity maps is saying we've got two things, focus and breadth. And it's not like one's good and the other's bad. Both have both positive aspects. It's not even necessarily that the good point is bang in the middle and it's bad to be anywhere else. It's more that there are positive sides to both. but there are also negative sides to both. And so typically polarity maps, we draw this sort of figure of eight diagram like that. And so to start with focus, so supposing I'm in a very positive place with focus, and what I'm looking for is a very fine, very clear, very precise centre of attention that's very specific and very detailed. Okay. There's this phrase from Padmasambhava, as fine as graded flour. That's a little metaphor that he's got. And if we can bring that in, then that's a very positive quality. And we can, in a way, we don't need anything else. If we've got a sort of focus that's fine, clear, precise, specific details, and that's just the nature of it, then that's fine, we can just stay there. The downside, what can happen, is if we're just in this area of focus, we can find that it starts to get a bit tight, it starts to get narrow, we're excluding things. And in order to maintain this focus, you might find that we're being a bit willful. The body's kind of tensing up, the space of awareness is kind of contracting and tensing, and there's a sort of hardness, particularly in the way in which we're trying. So we're trying hard to maintain focus, and we wind up with a very hard and trying experience. So that's what happens if we wind up going down here. So sometimes it's described as too much focus, but in a way it's not really a case of too much, because you can't have too much of this stuff. It's a case of, if you find the quality of focus is dropping into this more negative area, then what you need is to introduce the positive qualities of breadth. So breadth can be wide open, inclusive, integrated, soft, relaxed. In a way, it can be the opposite of all of these. It can be wide, it can be soft, it can be spontaneous and inclusive. And similarly, if you're in this sort of open, inclusive, wide, integrated space, you could just stay there. You wouldn't need to balance that necessarily with anything else. It's a positive state of mind to be in. So a just sitting practice that's going well would be here. And nobody's saying, in the context of just sitting practice, that you have to have a very specific and particular fine focus of attention. It's quite valid to have a very open awareness. It's possible that you might find the breadth dropping into more of a sort of unfocused, vague, wandering sort of state, which will tend towards one of the hindrances. So you might find that in the absence of any particular focus, the mind starts wandering and then goes off into what's called proliferation of thoughts. Conversely, you might find that in a sort of more sort of vague, unfocused space, the mind just kind of sinks down into a sort of dullness. So that's proliferation and decay, which are the two directions out of concentration towards hindrance. And if you find that, then what you need to bring in are these positive qualities of focus. So bring in a centre of attention, look for a very fine, specific, detailed, clear centre of attention. So it's another way of looking. So rather than looking at balance in the sense of I need just so much of this and just so much of that, we're looking in terms of sort of correcting. So if I'm finding I'm in this rather negatively broad space, then I need to bring in a sort of positive focus to balance that out in a way, to come up here. And if I find that I'm in a rather tight, narrow, hard, excluding sort of focus, then I need to bring in the positive qualities of breadth. So this sort of balance, it's, in a way it is a balancing activity, but it's kind of being sensitive to your current experience and then bringing in what's needed to, in a way, balance that out. So that's my first point on focus and breadth. It's a bit of a summary and reminder because, well, for those of you who are here, the first week we did actually look at focus and breadth. So this, I think, is additional, and I think the rest might be reminders. And so I've got three angles on focusing on focus and breadth. This is the first one. So moving on to the second one. So this one's called broadband of awareness. So I've got two scenarios here where there's a very particular focus. So that in a way, the focus, so narrow is a bit purgative, but the focus is quite specific. But it's within the context of a broader awareness. So over on the left here, I've got a bit of a broader awareness, but not that much. And over on the right here, I've got rather more. And you can think of this as your band of awareness. This breadth is your band of awareness. And what the mind naturally does is it wanders. So I might start out by kind of being on the focus. And then I kind of wander a bit. And I wander a bit more. And once I've wandered far enough, I'm kind of out of my band. So this is the experience of... you've kind of lost awareness and often kind of stay unaware until the bell rings or something else happens to bring you back. Something external usually happens to bring you back into awareness. So the point here is that with a relatively, with a not particularly broad band of awareness, it's quite possible for the mind to wander off out of it and then you lose awareness. But if the same thing's happening here, I'm trying to draw the same line. But same sort of degree of distraction. So the mind's wandering in the same way, but my band of awareness is broader. And so it's possible to sort of encompass the attention as it moves, as it wanders. And then it's always possible to come back to focus. You haven't kind of lost it. You don't need an external stimulus like the bell going again to bring you back because you haven't gone away. So that's a sort of motivating illustration for why a broad band of awareness is key. And so the sort of perspective here is that attention, which is the way in which the mind is directed to a particular centre, to a particular focus or a particular centre of attention, attention will tend to wander a bit. It's a sort of natural property of the mind. So the mind has a quality of movement to it. And it has a quality of stillness to it. It's got both. So it's not actually possible to pin the mind on a fixed object and prevent any movement. That's not going to work. It is possible to settle gradually into a deeper concentration and then the degree of movement in the mind will sort of... still will gradually lessen, but even in the deepest dhyana, there's some movement of mind going on. And even in the most distracted and anxious states of prapancha, not everything is moving. There's always some quality of stillness there as well. So broad band of awareness is kind of taking that on board. It's kind of recognizing that there's going to be some movement within attention. But if I can kind of keep my breadth of awareness expansive enough, I can just kind of accommodate that. I can allow room to manoeuvre, wiggle room, that sort of thing. So that's my second perspective. And my last one, my third perspective, is around effort, so balanced effort. So I think balanced effort is probably the one I've covered before, so it's more of a summary. So balanced effort, there's two aspects to it. There's a quantity and there's a quality. So in terms of quantity, a balanced effort is just enough effort to stay focused. And the other way of putting just enough is as much as necessary, as much effort as you need. It's also a quality of effort. So a balanced effort is one which has a sort of interest, curiosity, sort of feeling into the quality of mind and kind of responding to that, sort of responsiveness. And that's going to be persistent. It's going to be kind of have a continuity to it, continuity of purpose, but not willful or forced. And in terms of the quality, also there's a sort of pliant quality to it. Yeah. So it's not rigid, it's pliant, but it's persistent, it's steady, it's sort of keeping with it. So you can think of that as a sort of middle way between hard and soft. And I don't know if you remember these two qualities of Kamanatata and Samihitata that I think I introduced at the beginning. So these are sort of dhyana factors, but they're not in the usual list of five. So I hope I've got the pronunciations right. Kamanatata, so kama is coming from karma, which in this context means work or action. And what it's getting at is a sort of workability or pliancy of mind. So the mind has this sort of pliant, workable, there's a certain give to it, but it's not completely floppy. So it's not rigid, it's got a good give, but it's not completely floppy. And the companion quality, Samihitata, it's a sort of groundedness, steadiness, firmness in a sense, but not rigidity. Yeah, it's not hard and solid. So there's a sort of middle way in there between hard and soft. Yeah. So it's got the sort of quality of steady, grounded, firm, that's kind of on the harder side, and it's got the quality of pliant, workable, and that's on the softer side. So balanced effort has this quality to it, and it's got a quantity and it's got a quality. Yeah. So in terms of persistence, so rather than thinking of trying hard, think in terms of just staying with it, staying with it, staying with it. So this is very relevant, particularly when we're introducing a very specific and fine focus. So in this context, we're kind of upping the stakes here, and so there's a danger of getting tight and narrow and hard and so on. And we can address that danger by looking particularly for the fine, clear, precise, specific detail. There's a different feeling tone to it. But we can also kind of have more in the frame the quality of balanced effort. So we've got a couple of metaphors. For that, I'll use my Vajra visual aid for the first one, which is rather heavier and more substantial than a bell ringer, which I often use. So imagine this is the mind, this is the attention, and I'm kind of trying to balance that, and it's such a narrow point, I'm not going to be able to manage that, but I might be able to balance it like that. And if it's in balance, then that's fine. You don't need any effort to keep it upright if it is upright. If it's leaning to one side, so imagine this is kind of the mind, and perhaps the mind's got a kind of lean to it, and we're kind of drawn in a different direction. there's something else that's preoccupying us, and it's like there's a sort of weight that's sort of pulling us off the centre of attention into distraction. So that's more like this. And the idea is a balanced effort is one that kind of meets that and just brings in enough push. So with my finger here, I'm sort of just pushing back to the centre. But I'm not pushing hard. I'm just providing the same push, the same amount of push as there is kind of lean. So the mind's kind of pulling off one way and getting a feel for that and just bringing in the same sort of level of push to kind of push back. And so then there's a quality of balance. And in order to get that quality of balance, I need to be sort of sensitive to the state of mind I'm in. So how much of a propensity to distraction is there? And just put that much lean in so it's balanced. And it's also responsive in the sense that it's meeting that in each moment. So it's open to that changing. It's quite possible that as I do this for a while, then actually my mind settles more on the breath. And then I'm more sort of here. So there's a very slight lean and there's much less effort. And so as the mind centres and settles, the amount of effort I'm making falls off. Until it is possible that you get to the central point where you're not making any effort at all. The mind just is centered. You're not making an effort to center the attention. It just is centered. So that's my first sort of metaphor for balanced effort. And I'll just include the other one. So I usually use some sort of a cushion at this point. That one's pretty, it's nice and chunky. So you might want to try this if you've got a cushion to hand. So if I'm just touching the cushion with no very, very little pressure at all, just a slight contact, I don't have any particular sense of the nature of what's inside the cushion. It could be absolutely solid, I think, particularly if I'm not holding the weight of it. It's just there and I'm just touching it. I don't have a sense of what sort of quality of materials inside of it, how rigid it is or how soft it is. If I want to find that out, I need to give it a bit of a squeeze. And when I do that, I find, oh yeah, it's got this much give. But beyond that, I also find, oh, there's a sort of texture in there. So if you want to kind of get inside your experience, just a surface contact isn't quite going to do it. But a bit of a squeeze, a bit of a push, is going to actually provide you with a lot more kind of a much fuller sense of the quality of inside, what's inside this experience. So supposing this cushion here is a metaphor for some sort of distraction. And initially, I'm just aware of, oh, well, a thought's arisen. It may well be that that's just a passing thought. It may well not particularly be a hindrance at all. And the sort of just contact analogy is that there's no kind of pushback to bring the mind back to the focus. So it's just, oh yeah, thoughts arisen, and then another thoughts arisen, and other thoughts arisen. And there's no particular sense of where they're coming from and what's going on underneath that. But if, on the other hand, I want to kind of get more of a sense of, is this more of a driven sort of thought, or is this more of just a passing stray thought. I can find that out by just introducing a bit more effort to bring the mind back to the centre. So I've got this chosen focus, and if I, in response to some distraction arising, make a bit more effort to stay centered and stay focused. It's a bit like squeezing the cushion. And so what I'm trying to convey with this metaphor is the motivation's rather different. So the motivation isn't that I'm trying to pin my attention and fix my experience. The motivation is that I'm trying to kind of explore this this experience, this sort of tendency towards distraction, and get a sense of what's underneath that, what's inside it, you know, how sort of resistant is that. So this is kind of bringing in a bit more effort as a way of coming to a fuller understanding of that experience. I'm nearly at the end, actually. So it's just saying, yeah, we could bring effort in as a way of exploring sort of what's underneath the surface of our experience, particularly sort of getting from the sort of just the surface content of thoughts arising into the, actually, is there a certain resistance under that? Is there a certain push under that? So underneath thoughts arising, there may well be a sort of volition, a sort of drive, a sort of lean of the mind towards something other than the focus. So balanced effort could involve this sort of approach as well. And so that's balanced effort in a nutshell. And we're sort of raising the stakes with balanced effort because we're bringing in a much more specific, fine, detailed centre to the attention. And so the need for a balanced approach that doesn't get tight, narrow, hard is greater. So, yeah. Okay. So there's an opportunity in a minute to try that out. There's space here if you want to ask any questions before we do, then we can clarify those before we give it a go.
So can I ask, you're holding them both at the same time, you're not alternating between them?
Between focus and breath? Mm. No, it's both at the same time. Yeah.
The breath.
Yeah, that's okay. Right. Yeah. One image that came to mind, I think I read it somewhere, was if you imagine in a jeweler's, often you get a very particular single jewel and it'll be placed in a sort of expanse of velvet or something. So if you imagine a diamond just placed in the centre of the whole velvet cushion, they're both there at the same time. So let's set ourselves up for meditation and then we can give that a try.
When you're saying with a cushion, just to make a little bit of a push, if you're moving away from your focus.
Yeah.
Is that to go into the thing that's taking you away, into your volition?
Yeah, to get the measure of it.
Or
yeah.
Do you push to get back to your focus? Because you could do either, couldn't you?
Yeah. Well, the idea of the push was, in a way, it's a push back to the focus.
Mm-hmm.
But when I do that, I'll find if I'm meeting resistance or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm kind of interested in the quality of the resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And the quantity of the resistance.
Yeah. Because, for example, when I've been sat here when you've been talking, I've had the same thought coming.
Yeah.
And then I focus back on what you're saying.
Mm.
But do you think it's wise then to go into that thought a little bit? Or just to keep trying to push it away and just go back to the focus?
Good question.
Or do you, you can't really say, can you, because it depends on the circumstances.
It depends on how insistent it is,
yeah,
in particular. So this little metaphor was a way of finding out how insistent it is. So perhaps as a first try, you might start by, let's assume it's just a stray thought,
mm-hmm,
and I'll just come back to the breath.
Mm-hmm.
And you may well be quite right, it was just a stray thought, and I can come back to the breath. And you, but if not, then you'll find the extent to which...
It keeps coming back at you and keeps...
The extent to which it's kind of driven or impelled and it keeps coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So from there, once you've kind of found that out, you may find, if it's still fairly light, okay, so mm-hmm, there's a kind of insistence to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's possible to just kind of introduce that much insistence to coming back to the breath. If it's light, you know, so if this kind of metaphor works, if there's not too much weight. And then you can kind of get to a sort of quality of balance, which sort of acknowledges, I've got this kind of lean towards this concern of mine. And I'm kind of meeting that with a sort of lean towards the practice, and there's a sense of balance, and in a way holding them both. It's sort of I'm sort of holding this lean away from meditation. That works with a sort of light drivenness, a light volition behind a distraction. If it's very strong, if it's just insisting upon your full attention, then we're much more in the territory of experiencing the mind, you know. So this particular guest has arrived at the door, he's insisting on entering, you can't push him
because
away.
You just can't fight it really, because it's just going to come back so strongly.
Fighting it's not where you want to get into. So I hope these metaphors don't suggest,
because I've got a thought today and then every, I don't know, couple of minutes it's coming. But I know what's underneath it. I just kind of know what's there, but it just keeps doing it. I can't stop it.
Okay. Well, it's great that you know what's underneath it. You know what's there, because in a way, this is what this is about, trying to ascertain.
But it's not so strong that it's completely taken me away from what you're saying.
Yeah.
So I suppose in that case, it's probably best to try and keep focusing, isn't it?
Well, that depends on the quality of your experience, actually. So there are two possible options. So you can see which one kind of seems more of a fit. So it's possible that you find, well, it's there, but I can kind of, I'm aware of it, and I can kind of just lean back into the focus with this sort of awareness of this distraction in my broader experience, and just kind of meet it like that. So the meeting has this quality of recognition rather than of fighting.
Just that let it be there a bit more. Okay.
Worth a try.
Yeah.
And if that's not possible, then it's going to need your full attention. So you sort of back into the guest house, sort of.
Yeah, it's just a bit irritating because it's not relevant to this talk. And
So there's something else there happening as well, isn't there? There's this sort of irritation going on as well. And often, you know, hindrances come in, if not threes, at least twos. It's like, okay, there's this thing happening, this is really kind of calling my attention. And part of me finds that really irritating. Wishes it would go away. So that's
sometimes it's so strong, isn't it, that you just can't turn your mind off from it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Get carried away.
So that's the call, really. It's like, how strong is it? Is it something I can kind of just allow to be there and sit with? Is it something that I really need to kind of give my full attention to? Yeah.
Okay.
But there's a lot to be said for, you start by assuming it's just a passing thought.
Yes.
And then when it becomes apparent that it's not quite just a passing thought, then you address that, you know. I think that's a sort of as much as needed aspect of balanced effort.
Yeah.